Welcome to the Predictable Revenue Podcast, where frontline sales leaders teach you how to build and scale an outbound sales team. Welcome back to the Predictable Revenue Podcast. I'm your host, Colin Stewart. Today, I'm joined by Carly Naviou. She's the director of inside sales and sales operations at Smart Assistant. She hails from originally Vancouver, but now she's been transplanted over into New York to build and run a team. Carly, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I'm excited because, you know, social prospecting is something that, you know, we've talked a little bit about social selling. We, you know, we've had a few guests on the show recently, but you come from Hootsuite. So I imagine, you know, it sounds like you've built a couple teams over there. We know a few of the same people. Everybody says great things. So today we're going to talk about, you know, sort of opening the kimono of this is how Hootsuite runs their social selling programs, even though you're not there anymore. But yeah. Sound good to you?
Sounds great. Yeah, no, I can speak from a lot of experience. I'd say that as we called it there, I ate my dog food. So loved the social world and getting to apply that to my everyday and prospecting and applying that to selling deals as well. So
does it get hard on your stomach, you know, after, you know, weeks, months of eating your own dog food or?
No, sometimes I take a break and I train other people to do it now. So
cool.
Now it's purely for enjoyment. So,
talk to me about, so you're at Smart Assistant now. What is Smart Assistant?
Yeah. So we are a digital recommendation SaaS company out of Vienna, Austria. So in a world of, you know, how many choices we have these days, it is actually a solution that we work with big brands and retailers to help guide their customers to make better recommendations. So if you've gone on any type of retailer's website and you see thousands of different products that you could potentially be purchasing, mm-hmm. we actually create an advisor that's a needs-oriented questionnaire and then helps make a recommendation. So yeah, like very similar companies that we worked with at Hootsuite, but mm-hmm. now we're working a bit more on the e-commerce side. So it's been an exciting transition. Yeah.
That's interesting. And now we're going to be talking about social prospecting, but some of your team is in Vienna.
Yeah, in Poland, actually.
Oh, no way. So also in New York.
And yeah, have two people in New York now as well.
You know, is your whole office surrounded in velvet in New York? Or is that just the red velvet of the room you're in?
So this is a lovely WeWork in Midtown, New York.
Cool.
And every floor has a bit of a different coloring scheme. So I think the pink probably clashed the most with the red, and that's why I chose this particular booth.
Amazing. You need a recommendation engine for like which booth you choose.
Exactly. Some people think I'm in a sauna, so I've got that before.
That's what I thought too. I was like, this looks like a very luxurious sauna mm-hmm. with like pink velvet on the walls.
It feels like it sometimes. It gets pretty warm in here.
Right on. I'm digressing a little bit because I really did want to ask you about, you know, you've got this distributed team. What's it like prospecting specifically using social for people in the EU?
Yeah, it's been a learning curve for me as much as the team over there. This was a new practice for them. I actually worked with a team in the UK when I was at Hootsuite. Mm-hmm. And I found that in the UK, fairly similar to the North American market in terms of people having a lot of social profiles. LinkedIn was a given, but then even having things like Twitter, where you can go and find a little bit of extra information for your prospecting efforts. But the more east you get in Europe, I find that the less common that is, depending on the type of industry as well. But ideally, if we find someone that works in a marketing role, has a Twitter account, and is talking a lot about their business or even some personal pieces, it's a gold mine on the eastern block of Europe. But it's not very common. So I tried to get everyone to do a bit more social prospecting, create their own profiles, but ideally, you know, there's more people responding to the approach on that side. So,
gotcha. Yeah. So it's still fairly early days.
But yeah.
The ones you do find, are there good response rates from them because just nobody hits them up or?
Yeah. Like LinkedIn is pretty positive. Like it's just really another layer to the emails and the calls that you're making. So I think just another way to showcase that you have some valuable information that you want to share with these individuals. Mm-hmm. So even if they don't respond via social, you know that they have seen what you've been sending over to them. Mm-hmm. So it's even not necessarily a direct impact on the response rate, but you'll most likely share a bit more information on social than you might have in an email or over the phone. So versus North America, where we find a lot of our prospects are already active. They're going to an event, they're posting about it. Like, that's exactly what you want to find. So you can start a conversation and be really applicable to them.
Awesome. Before we drill into the rest of the episode, can we just take a step back in time and talk to me about your experience at Hootsuite? Yes. So I understand that you're the one that painted the mural around the outside of the building.
All of them.
All of them.
The ones that were at the top. Yeah. Yeah. No, I was actually a high jumper growing up. So that's why they gave me that job.
So you didn't use any scaffolding whatsoever, just sort of jump and then one exactly. stroke at a time. Exactly. Amazing. So impressive. Well, thanks for coming on the show today.
Of course. Yeah. So I kind of stumbled upon Hootsuite. I had a friend that I had ran track and field with growing up, and he was actually the first SDR at Hootsuite. So I joined him to pretty much be the second, and it was a great time to join the company about 5 years ago, and we had a lot of room to go and figure things out. So there wasn't a lot of processes in place. We had the entire globe to pick from who we wanted to target. Mm-hmm. So of course, went with all the brands that I liked and started there, and then worked through social reach outs, emails, cold calling, and loved it. Like, it was my competitive nature and like having to go and dig through all these accounts and try to get someone to respond to me was pretty exhilarating. But I feel like once I actually got on the phones, that was the terrifying part. Mm-hmm. So built up the confidence, and then I actually transitioned into an AE role. Loved that as well, getting to work on the full sales cycle, and then had an opportunity to actually go back into the SDR world and lead a team. So that was my first opportunity to actually get to share my experiences and help coach the next generation of salespeople. Mm-hmm. And from that team, probably what I was most proud of and most excited about at my time there was getting to take a couple really successful SDRs, and we created this mid-market team. So it was brand new, and there was these new packages at Hootsuite that really didn't fit on our freemium side nor our enterprise side. So we put our hands up and said, like, give us a shot. We'll do our own demos. We'll sell, we'll help the customers once they're onboarded, we'll do everything. Mm-hmm. And it went really well. So that was something that I worked on for 2 years. And by the time I left, we had about 20, 25 people on the team, and they have plans to continue to expand indefinitely. So I think it's a huge market, and the solution fits really well with those types of customers. And yeah, it wasn't just the small packages that the team was selling. It was some fairly large deals as well. So it was a really exciting time.
So a small deal. I know you probably can't share everything, but let's say, I don't know, call it a couple of grand all the way up to not quite six figures.
Yeah, I think there were some six figure ones in there. So.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That must have been a...
Yeah.
Yeah. Great experience getting the chance to start a brand new team, brand new sort of territory from scratch.
Yeah. We just had so much fun doing it and figuring things out and learning from each other. So it was the team that actually put all their brains together and would decide, what types of companies we should go after, a bit different from our enterprise strategy. So we had a good thing going for us there when
And I imagine you guys were using social prospecting a little bit, on a scale of a little bit to a lot at Hootsuite. Where were you? 1 to 10?
Yeah, I'd say on the enterprise side, there was when you have really targeted an account-based model, like, that's when it's a lot easier to have the social prospecting as a part of your strategy. Mm-hmm. Just you're talking to specific people on a regular basis. You have those people that you're nurturing, and you can create Twitter lists and follow them on Hootsuite and stay relevant. But When it's more of a transactional model, you might add them on social and keep track of what they're talking about, but you might not be as proactive with following those people on social. So,
gotcha. So social is still going to be similar whether you're sort of prospecting to really large companies or really small companies. It's just how sort of in depth you go.
Exactly.
If you think about it in terms of like the potential deal size as your fuel, how deep can I go? If it's going to be $1 million deal, I can go pretty deep.
Exactly.
If it's going to be a $10,000 deal, I don't have that much fuel to spend. So can't go quite as far. Can't invest as much time on each customer because you need to, hire. You need to prospect and close more.
Exactly. And like you think of your account plan, if you're working with multiple departments, you have a bunch of different stakeholders, you need to familiarize yourself with the different people and what they care about within the organization. Mm-hmm. So if it's more of a transactional deal, you probably have your champion and that might end up being the only person that you work with from start to finish, excluding maybe some procurement and legal people that show up at the end. Mm-hmm. So for us, it really, and here at Smart Assistant, it's the same. Like if you're planning a very strategic account plan and working long-term with this account, your approach and the communication is going to be quite different than if it's a quick conversation and you're closing a deal in a week and you're moving them on to an account manager. So I think approach really has to match the relationship that you're trying to build as well.
Gotcha. No, we've talked about, love it. I think that makes a ton of sense, right? You're sort of calibrating to who you're selling to and how much you can afford really based on your commission check.
Yeah.
So you talked about social selling. What does that mean to you? What's sort of included in your, in your eyes, start to finish? What is it?
So like, now I'm not approaching customers on a daily basis. I'm working with my team that is approaching customers. So I'm less about my personal brand and more about promoting what the business that I'm working for is doing. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's like creating the voice for the industry and sharing knowledge and seeming like you're a relevant person to talk to, versus, self-promotion. Like to me, the social selling, like if you're only talking about yourself and talking about what you've done, is that really going to be of interest to people in the industry? I'm not sure. So I like to be like more industry specific now and share that with my team, because I think that long-term on LinkedIn, if you have relevant industry information, you're sharing about different events that are happening related to the industry, like those are the types of things that I would consider like the social prospecting today. So yeah, like really the communication has to be succinct and relevant. And I also still want to share things that maybe aren't necessarily just about our business and about the industry. So my interests, but maybe not about me personally.
So do you have any examples that you can remember from say Hootsuite?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think trying to get people's attention outside of an email, like it's such a noisy world. And like my inbox, and I'm not a VP of marketing at a Fortune 500 company, but my inbox is full of people reaching out with templated emails, really not personalizing anything. And they're really only emailing me. So I know that I'm one name on their list. So at Hootsuite, what I like to do was, follow the account, maybe the brand itself. I would go and follow the contact so I could keep an eye on anything that when the time was right, I could add some value. So whenever we would have a webinar that was coming up that would relate to that business, maybe share it out in a tweet and include them as an at mention. Or if it was something like an event and they said that they were going to be attending, maybe telling them that I was going to be at some fun cocktail event and hope that I would see them there. So like, instead of just going and like hounding people for a meeting, trying to make it an enjoyable process for both parties. So that was usually my approach and it worked well. Some people never replied, but at the same time, if they want to talk and there's someone that's interested in your technology, those are the people that are going to get back to you and that most likely will want to move forward anyways.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Because I like how you're saying like make it interesting for them, because by default, like if we look at this, like your email as a product, and I'm going to steal this, I think I'm stealing this from Pete Kazanji. But if you look at your email as a product, the major use case is not a response, right? The sort of like the paved path is you know, they're not going to respond. Mm-hmm. Right. You know, even if you get the best, I think we've heard 20 to 30% response rates is like, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, it's really good.
So even if you're really, really good at prospecting, which most people aren't, but even if you're really, really good, 70% of the people are still not responding. Mm-hmm. Right. And of the 30% that did respond in that case, not all of them are responding back saying, absolutely, yes. Right. They're just responding back. We're not talking about positive response rates.
Yeah.
So the major use case here is they're not responding. So you may as well make it, you know, pleasurable, enjoyable, you know, fun for them. Exactly. I'm not just saying, you know, send the hippopotamus or the elegant emails to everybody. But I might start doing that to sales leaders just as a gag and see how into irony and sarcasm they are. But,
So when I started at Hootsuite, I won't go into specifics, but I saw an email go out, and I had actually worked in wealth management in like one of the most, you know, rigid and rule following industries. And I saw an email go out that had Gordon Ramsay in a GIF, and I was terrified. I was like, sending this to a professional, and it works. Like, you're a human, they're a human. If they have a sense of humor, you know, you're probably actually going to enjoy that conversation when it happens.
Yeah.
It also depends on the awareness of the company that you're working for. So, you know, Hootsuite was a very well-known, basically household name in the industry. Mm-hmm. You know, whereas Smart Assistant, digital advice technology is a new category. So I'm also approaching this as an educational format. So reaching out with case studies and things that are actually informative based on the value that we're providing, mm-hmm. versus just the name of the company being enough to get someone's attention.
Which I think is the situation that most people that are listening to this podcast are, mm-hmm. you know, unless you're Uber or Hootsuite, yeah. you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So exactly. Let's talk about what sort of impact have you seen on results, you know, sending, you know, being a little bit more personalized, making it, you know, getting a little bit more involved. What's the impact been for you and your team?
Like, I would compare it to people that I know that only send emails and then all of a sudden start picking up the phone and cold calling people. Mm. And then when someone responds, people are surprised. Mm. Same with social. It's been an awesome experience for, you know, especially more junior salespeople that are trying to understand what captivates the attention of a prospect. And, you know, having all these different channels, you're going to just spread your luck out, and eventually you're going to find the right channel that someone's going to say, okay, I'll talk to you via email, via phone, via social. Mm. So for me also, I think depending on who you're targeting, if it's a really senior person and they're inundated with emails or they have a gatekeeper, they might never see your emails or never hear your voicemail.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they have a personal Twitter account and now all of a sudden you've sent them something relevant and they know your name. Hmm. They go to your website, you know, everyone has all these fancy technologies and can see that this person visited the website. That to me is a huge success. Even if they don't respond or they're not, you're now on their radar. They know your name. They've seen the company name. Great. Maybe you'll run into them at an event. Maybe 6 months down the line, this will be a topic that comes up within a meeting at their company, and they're going to think of you or think mm-hmm. about, you know, that person sent me an article and I saved it on my computer or sent it to someone. So,
because every channel that you add is just another opportunity to get sort of lucky at the right time.
Yeah. Statistically, right. You're increasing your odds. So, yeah.
Gotcha. I know we're getting deep, and if you can't share, that's okay. But I guess you probably wouldn't have any before and afters at Smart Assistant, but do you have is there any quantifiable like numbers that you can throw out and say, hey, if you aren't adding in these, you're only getting 60% of your response rates or of your potential? Or
I mean, as someone on the sales operations side, I probably should have that data, but we're pretty new in the US market. So to be determined, but I'll get back to you if I get any.
Why don't we just make up a metric then? Let's say you're 60 times more likely to engage a prospect eventually.
Then you better be finding them on social media.
Yeah, perfect. So let's talk tactics for a sec here. Let's sort of, you know, kind of pivot, because we talked about, you know, why it's important, how you see it. I know you've got some tricks, some tips that from when you were prospecting on LinkedIn at Hootsuite. Yeah, mm-hmm. I got that right. you've got some stuff you can show us and want to walk us through. So what was the first piece that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, so Twitter lists, I don't know many people that actually use them except, I don't know, not that many people. Everyone is surprised, but it's there. They're right there.
What is a Twitter list? I mean, I know it sounds self-explanatory, yeah. But like just in case.
So the way I explain it is, if you have a Twitter account and you follow 100 people, on your feed, you're going to see those 100 people's messages, mm-hmm. and only those 100 people. Mm-hmm. So if you create a separate list, a couple of great things about it is that you don't have to follow them. So if you're prospecting people and maybe don't want to seem that forward, you can actually create a private Twitter list. So what I like to do is I have a prospect accounts and a prospect contacts.
List.
So,
prospect
exactly.
accounts, prospect contacts
exactly.
list. Okay.
So say I am prospecting Microsoft and I would follow the account on one list because I want to hear about what the brand is talking about. Mm-hmm. And then I would follow separately on my prospect contacts list, my target prospects. So the individuals that I've found, and especially in North America, if you have a LinkedIn account, when you go on that person's profile, a lot of the times it'll have their Twitter handle right there for you. Hmm. So you're not having to go and do extra work. It's right there. So go to that person's page, see what they like to talk about, and then you can add them directly to a list. And then within Hootsuite, you can actually set up those streams right beside each other that will show you those lists. So I have a lot of now like information lists on machine learning or agricultural tech or things to do in New York. Mm-hmm. Consolidate anything that you want into a list, and you don't have to then add all those people onto your Twitter and really, you know, kind of dilute the main people that you follow on a regular basis. And then you can go in and check that on a daily basis, see if there's anything interesting that you want to interact with. If someone posts something interesting, you can naturally engage with it. So if they posted something that relates to, I don't know, maybe an event that they're going to, now you have that information, maybe you can respond and let them know that you'll be there and that you really like to meet in person or something like that. So
Yeah. So the first step is like, I guess, finding the prospects. So you're on their LinkedIn profile, looking to see if they have a Twitter account. Mm-hmm. Then you log into, or you click on their Twitter link, add them to either the company list or the prospects list. Mm-hmm. I imagine, do you have specific industry lists? Actually, you know what? Even better. Do you have your Hootsuite in front of you? Could you share your screen?
I could.
Show us.
I mean, I don't have any current lists because I'm not prospecting on a daily basis, but I can show you some examples.
Cool. Is it going to be just like pins of mustard? Just different types of mustard?
I know. I told you that story.
Yeah.
Yes. There was someone that worked at a pet healthcare company, and he was unresponsive to any of my lovely emails or phone calls. And this is at Hootsuite. And I actually found out that he was a mustard connoisseur on his LinkedIn because of his Twitter profile.
Yeah.
And changed my subject line to include something to do with mustard. And guess what? He responded.
Fantastic.
So, yeah, I've done that as well. Like, it's just going to someone's LinkedIn, seeing if there's anything relatable. Mm-hmm. There's a huge brand in the US, and I noticed that the person was from Calgary. Did not respond to probably 5+ emails, and I referenced the Calgary Stampede in the subject line. He forwarded my email to the right person and we had a great conversation. So like, at least gave him something to see that I'd done a bit more research and it wasn't just another templated email that was going directly to the trash. Mm-hmm.
I was at AAISP yesterday and, Sean, the CRO from SalesLoft, was talking about something similar. And he's like, yeah, I received a whole bunch of a bunch of emails and calls from a ton of different people. And he's like, so the thing that got me is he signed his email, Go Patriots.
There you go.
Like, the guy's the CRO, and he laughed at how silly it was, right? That, you know, of all the business logic that the rep had thrown at him, of all the hustle, that it was actually this like one personalized thing that he had just found out that, hey, he's from New England and, you know, loves the Pats. So throwing that in actually got the response. So it seems like, you know, we might be pulling at straws here, but these are the kinds of things that most SDRs don't do, right? They download the list from, you know, a list vendor, they throw it into their tool and they blast a ton of emails. I think if you're not personalizing the content of your messaging, the content of your calls, you're doing yourself a disservice. Cause if you're looking at every email, you need to find a way to show them, hey, I actually had a look at this. You know, I care enough about doing business with you as a company that I went and did this. I looked at your LinkedIn. I followed you on Twitter. I was trying to figure out what you like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like if you send one of those emails, in my opinion, that's better than 100 templated generic messages. And I know we're in a world, especially today, like you need to really cover your bases and get as much reach as possible. But even just that first, like the subject line or that very first sentence, if it's not about that person or at least the department or the company, mm-hmm. you're talking about yourself in that first sentence. I mean, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, it's, you know, and that's a very, very simple or very subtle way of saying it. But I think a lot of prospects or a lot of SDRs, they want to lead the conversation with, let me tell you about myself.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I think they forget about what, like if you met somebody at a networking event, you wouldn't walk up, or maybe you would, but you wouldn't just walk up and say, hi, I'm Colin. I'm from Break the Robin. I do this. If somebody did that to you, you'd be like, see you later.
I would be wildly embarrassed about that. So
exactly. Right. You want to lead the conversation by, you know, understanding a little bit more, showing them like, hey, oh, I see you're wearing a Calgary Stampede t-shirt or something. Yeah, I'm trying to connect it back. A cowboy hat. Oh
yeah.
You look like you might be from Calgary.
Yeah. And self-awareness. It's like having that self-awareness. It's same with on social. Like, you don't get too personal. You don't talk about things that you wouldn't say to them on the phone. Like it's not an excuse to shock people. It's really something that you should be, you know, proud to be sending out to them. Like I always think about if my CEO saw this tweet or email or listened to that voicemail, would they be okay with it?
Yeah.
And like upholding those standards, but still having fun and being personal. Like that to me is what makes it enjoyable to come into work every day too.
Absolutely. Yeah. What do you think, Aaron?
Definitely.
He nodded. Yeah. So you're going to share your screen before I rudely interrupted. So let's check out some of your lists here just to give people a look at, cause I think the first thing we were talking about is adding people to lists. And I know you've got a couple other things to show specific to Hootsuite.
So you click on your face and right here is lists. So I have an outrageous amount that I'm either have created on my own or a member of, or if you go down even further, ones that I've followed myself. So pro tip, if you are following, or like if you're actually prospecting a specific type of industry, you can go and find an industry list that someone has already put in all of the effort to go and consolidate for you. Mm-hmm. So like a Fortune 500, you can go and find, you can maybe start with one company on the Fortune 500 and then from there, see what kind of list that they're a member of. Hmm. So I used to work with higher education at Hootsuite. So, you know, this is one that has higher education marketing and communication professionals.
Perfect.
Yeah. So if you wanted to go and just show you. So at the very top here, I actually have, so this was a list that I would have created, you know, looking for, I had 71 members on a mid-market list that I would have been following to, this one is a good example. So it was more of a transactional model, but I would still add people to a list. And then in Hootsuite, go and add those people to a stream. So under my prospecting tab here, I would have my contacts, my accounts, and then these are ones that I've created because it has my name here.
Yeah.
And then
this is all something they could do for free, like with a free Hootsuite account.
So I might have a free Hootsuite account. So yes. I used to pay for one, but because I'm not actively prospecting, to me, I mainly use it for Twitter. If you're a brand, you can use it for Instagram and Facebook and publish to any channel that you'd like. But for me, Twitter is really where I see the most value.
Okay.
To me anyways. And then this is a list that Mashable has created about brands. So this is one that I would have maybe found on Twitter, decided that, I want to be able to follow Dell and Microsoft and The Gap, see what all these large brands are talking about, and easily just take a look on a daily basis and see if there's anything exciting, maybe some new announcements that have come out, all in one place.
Gotcha. Because then if you see some announcement, it gives you a reason, gives you one of those things to reach out to, you know, that specific prospect.
Exactly. Right?
So you're sitting here, you're monitoring, you know, your whole accounts list, and you're saying, okay, which one of these companies that I care about that I'm trying to get into has something that I can tie what we do into something that they're doing.
Exactly. Like if I was prospecting Domino's and I saw this and I wasn't as hungry as I was right now, I would probably think of a really, you know, brilliant way to respond or tweet something back at them that maybe would get their team's attention. Like Mountain Dew, like there's always just fun and interesting things to see that maybe on LinkedIn, a lot of these brands are not posting. Another really, like we mentioned earlier about events. So an interesting thing that you can set up is a hashtag, and then you can also drop a pin. So if you are trying to follow, let me just see here, which is another one that just happened. So I think Shop Talk was more recent. So just another like retail specific event. And then this geocode is something that you catch from Google Maps.
Yeah. So it's literally you've typed in geocode colon, then the coordinates.
Yeah, exactly. And if
and
you
then a comma and then the radius.
100 kilometers, but you can switch this up. So if I wanted to look at like people talking about sales in this area, you can create, which I actually don't know where I dropped that geocode. So
we can
figure it out, but people talking about sales within that particular region. So it's great. If you're in an event, you can stay relevant. Maybe you're an SDR and you're not actually at that event, but you see that a prospect has been talking about the keynote and you want to go and share that with the sales director that you're working with, you know, go to the keynote. The head of marketing that you've been trying to talk to is sitting there tweeting and taking pictures. Maybe you'll run into them. Like just those types of things that can add some value.
Out of curiosity, are all tweets geocoded? Like do all tweets have location data appended to them somehow?
I think if your IP address is on, like it should be from where you're currently sitting. Yeah.
So basically any tweet that anybody's sending, let's say it's on your phone, it's going to give you the rough location, not expose the rough location, but it'll show you roughly where that person was.
Exactly. And when,
in this context, let's say you know that there's a conference happening at the Sheraton Grand.
Yeah.
You can say, okay, I'm going to pin the Sheraton Grand and see who's tweeting from there. And then you don't even have to like look at the hashtag, like at the event hashtag. So if they're not using it, they're just sitting there tweeting, you know, there's a big group of people, they're more likely to be at this conference.
Exactly. And there's actually a Hootsuite Google feature that if you're Googling in that particular area, it'll populate that stream within that region. I don't actually have it loaded on my computer right now, but that's one interesting function. And then Hootlet, if you don't use Hootlet and say you had an interesting article that you wanted to share, as long as I'm not blocked out from accessing too many.
You've had too many articles.
Hootlet is a really great extension because you can easily go and publish the article right from that page or schedule it out. and it's not loading right now, but what it does is it'll populate the same way that it does in Hootsuite right here, like your compose message. Mm-hmm. And you can schedule something out. So if you're a salesperson and you're going to an event, you know, not only can you go and use that hashtag so that people can see that you're attending, but you can go and schedule some messages that are going to go out periodically while you're out of office so that it appears that you're, you know, actively posting and continuing that conversation, or at least talking about something in particular, or using it to publish new and relevant blog posts. Like, it's nice to just be able to set some things out, schedule them, and not have to remember to tweet and seem like you're around all the time. Mm-hmm.
And then in that way, if you are following all of your prospects, you know, and you are pushing this content out to LinkedIn as well, you know, pushing it out to wherever they're following you, wherever they happen to be, then you're also able to, you know, by finding these articles, you're sort of getting your name out there as, again, what we talked about. It's not just, this is not just an, I'm an SDR. This is about me. This is about my company. This is, hey, I found this interesting thing in the industry, or I found this funny picture of a monkey on his chin.
Or Demi Moore in a bikini, either or. But yeah, you can like retweet right from Hootsuite. So people always tell me that it takes too long to go and find content. Mm-hmm. But if you have a list of retail reporters and analysts, like these are the people in the industry that are posting new content or sharing relevant articles, spend 5 minutes in here, schedule a few messages out, and you're good for the week.
Hmm. How many of these articles would you share every week?
I'm pretty inconsistent with that, but I think it depends. Like if you have something valuable to share, then, you know, go ahead and share it. I know people who are more like thought leaders, and they're the ones that you see posting on social or like LinkedIn 10 times a day. Mm-hmm. I know that will increase your reach and the chances that someone's going to actually see those posts. But for me, I probably post a few times a week max.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you're prospecting full time, would you crank that up a bit more?
Maybe. So if you're only working retail types of accounts, you might just try to find all of the interesting retail news that's being published. Mm-hmm. So only if you're finding something that's interesting, because if you're prospect now goes back and references your Twitter account, I'd say quality over quantity. Like, they don't care that you've sent 10,000 messages. They just want to see if you're posting interesting articles, because most likely if it's something silly, maybe they're going to judge you for that and not want to talk to you.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, and then if you work a lot of different industries, like maybe you work at Geo and you cross many different industries, then maybe you're sharing more about technology and innovative topics that apply more to the industry that you're working in than just trying to go in and cover every single industry that's out there, like post a higher ed and then a government. And I don't know, that's not very, you know, valuable for anyone. Mm. So.
Perfect. So we've built our brand a little bit. We've built some Twitter lists of, you know, the industry, of our accounts, of our contacts, we're following them. You know, what do we need to do next? We're engaging, we're sharing a bit of content. You know, what do we need to do?
I mean, I think this is like, you're adding this into your cadence. So you're adding this into your regular week. I think it's being consistent. You're consistent with your volume for emails. So you do the same for cold calling and you do the same for social. You know, if you only remember to do this every month, you're probably not going to see much of an effect, but, you know, set yourself a weekly reminder to go and add some additional content into your scheduled posts. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe set yourself a morning reminder and enjoy this as well. Like for me, I used to come in to work and, you know, I still check it periodically, but, you know, now my mornings are really busy because I work with a team in Europe. So that's not the time of day that's quiet for me.
Yeah.
So when I have a chance, I open up my home feed and I'm just reading news articles as if I'm on the train, or, you know, as if I'm, you know, sitting at home with some downtime. So like just adding this in will help you increase your knowledge of what's happening in the industry with your prospects. And then when it's applicable, you know, engaging you know, making sure that you're doing this on a consistent basis, and you will see people interacting with you, or at least maybe referencing an article that you've shared with them. It's also just helpful for your own content's sake. And maybe you actually see something that is relevant to your prospect and you go and share it in an email. So these types of things, yeah.
Yeah, because I think one of the things you're sort of hitting on here, we haven't come out and directly said it, but you know, we're dealing in a lot of cases with, you know, SDRs, they're younger in their career. And so developing that, or maybe you're not younger in your career, maybe you're newer to that market, to the industry. And so by following the different, you know, stories and the news in that industry, this is actually part of your, you know, your daily education to understand the customer a little bit better, you know. And on the off chance, you know, on certain days you'll find things that are relevant. But it's going to seed a lot of different ideas in your head if you're following the right stuff that you can then turn around and use to share on a prospect call, to share, you know, when you're, you know, in one of your emails. And all that's going to do is just help, you know, show that you understand the industry, that you've done your research, that you're help you empathize a little bit better with the prospect at the end of the day.
Exactly. And have just something to talk about, like, you know, having even internally at Smart Assistant, there's people that have a really strong e-commerce background, and there's a lot of terminology that I'm still learning because it wasn't something that I talked about on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. So finding interesting articles, you know, I don't need to go and take a 12-week course. I can just go and read some real practical use cases. And now I understand, like, that's how I would learn anyways. Being able to actually visualize what that means, so that when I'm talking to someone internally or talking to a prospect, those are some words that I've heard before now. So just making you seem a bit smarter.
Exactly. If you have that mental lattice work that exists already in your head, people are using these terms, you understand how to interpret it, right? Whereas if you have never heard that term, now your brain has to, while you're on the call, learn what that term is, try and guess, try and understand. And it's taking precious cycles away on that call from paying attention to the prospect and not just trying to understand what they're saying, but this sort of deeper meaning. And if you're stuck just trying to interpret what they're saying into like plain English, you're missing so much of the what isn't being said, or, you know, the higher level or the one level deeper, you know, that's going to enable you to ask that really good question. That's going to enable you to, you know, steer the conversation in a way that's going to help you book that appointment or make that sale, which is at the end of the day what we're trying to do.
Yeah. And every week I try to come up with a new topic that I'm interested in learning about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this week I've downloaded podcasts. I've had articles that I've tweeted that I'm going to read at some point this weekend. And like this week I'm focused on machine learning. Like that is what I want to learn about. You know, I've got a high level understanding. I read articles in The Economist about it, but I like really want to sit down and just gain a bit more knowledge about what that really means and how it's going to apply to our company, you know, a year or 2 years down the road. Mm-hmm. So like trying to set myself a goal as well from an education standpoint helps me with being able to use social to go and investigate different information that's out there versus just using Google and seeing the same, you know, top results coming up on a regular basis. So Twitter, it's a bit more sporadic. You have to dig, you know.
But I think it's that, I think you hit a really good point there. It's the process of digging that's going to get you outside of your normal, right? Yeah. Because I think one of the things that, especially in your newsfeed, that machine learning has done for us is if you like certain content, right, it's going to show you other similar content. Mm-hmm. Just like on Netflix, if you like to watch comedies, it's going to suggest more comedies, right? It's machine learning, it's artificial intelligence. And it's never going to say, oh, Carly works at Smart Assistant. She's prospecting into these really large brands. So let's show her these really large brands. You have to go out there and do the work and curate the content that you're consuming in order to get, you know, more familiar with your industry.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. Carly, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been really informative. Thank you for sharing your screen and all those different, the lists and how you use Hootsuite. This was awesome.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I'm glad we got to cover lots of topics today. So
yeah, we did a wide range. If somebody's out there, they, you know, said, hey, this was a great show, I want to learn more, I want to connect with Carly, how do we do that?
You can find me on LinkedIn or Twitter. I'd say that's the best place to start. Send me a valuable tweet and I'll get back.
There you go. Yeah. A GIF?
Yeah. Something Gordon Ramsay.
There we go. All right. I hope you get at least a couple here. And if you don't, I'll send you at least one.
Perfect. Please do.
Awesome. I want to say thanks again. And for everybody that's listening, if you could do us a huge solid, I'd love if you could just click on the link that's going to take you to YouTube, or if you're on YouTube already, just hit that subscribe button. That'd really help us get the word out about these podcasts, about the shows. It just helps us do more because it expands the reach of the content, which makes our marketing folks happy, which means we can invest more in making the podcast great, finding more great guests like Carly.
All right.
Thanks again. Talk to you next week.
Bye.